My name is Jo. I work at the University of Adelaide in Student Communications. I'd like to acknowledge that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are the original and most enduring storytellers and artists, passing down a rich oral tradition of history, cultural values, and spiritual knowledge. Telling stories of our education journey that inspire and support understanding of backgrounds that are different from our own is one of the most powerful ways storytelling can positively influence our community. I was born and raised on Kaurna country and pay my respects to Kaurna elders, past and present.
This is like so inspiring, like eating it up every single TikTok.
It's so wholesome.
And thanks, I was like, guys. She would be the perfect person to be on this episode.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello and welcome back to Take Note. We're hitting you with another bonus episode. This is the podcast where we give you the best notes on everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. Today we are joined with the fabulous Hattie.
Hi guys, thank you so much for having me on.
I'm so excited. If you guys don't know, October is Mental Health Awareness Month, and when this episode comes out, the theme for that day is to take notice, which means to be present and aware of your thoughts, feelings, and surroundings. And by doing that, it helps you appreciate life and boost your mental well-being. Oh, there's so much we can talk about that.
Yeah.
And we briefly know about Hattie's TikTok. It's quite popular. And we'll get straight into it.
Yeah. As soon as Megan came to me and was like, we want to do a Mental Health Awareness Month episode, I was like, oh my God, this girl Hattie. We have so many mutual friends. I'd never met her. I literally followed. She has, I think you have two TikTok accounts, but she has this TikTok account, Hattie Psychology. Definitely go follow that. Every time it comes up on my For You page, I didn't even realize that it was you.
Like, that's so funny.
Like, I didn't, obviously I know who Hattie is through our mutual friends, but when I saw this TikTok, I wasn't like, oh yeah, that's Hattie. I was like, oh my God, this is like so inspiring. Like eating it up every single TikTok.
It's so wholesome.
And thanks, I was like, guys. She would be the perfect person to be on this episode.
Yeah. Oh, stop. Thank you guys. Yeah. My TikToks have kind of been something I love doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just kind of like, I just like post random things, like kind of feel good content. Just like in no way is it meant to be like giving people actual advice or anything, because obviously I'm not qualified. Just like literally to like make content kind of fills my cup up too. So
some of the things you post, it's like five signs that you've done a good job today. And I'm like, oh my God, I have done a good job today.
Literally, it's just so like little reminders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you just want to give us like a quick run through of everything that you are, like what you've studied, what you're studying, your role at Headspace, everything like that?
Yeah, definitely. Basically, I have always been super interested in like human behavior, very much interested in like clinical kind of diagnoses of mental disorders as well, and like mental illness. So straight away, I kind of thought, oh my goodness, psychology seems like an awesome kind of pathway to go down. And so that's why after high school, I was like, that's what I'd love to do. And not that I even like studied psychology in high school at all. So it was kind of jumping into the deep end a little bit, which is fun. But basically, jumped into psychology, started volunteering at Lifeline firstly in my first year, which absolutely loved.
Was that like on the phones?
Yeah, so that was a text-based line. So it was like I was a digital crisis supporter. So basically anyone that reached out and needed help and maybe didn't want to use the phone, but instead wanted to like be more maybe anonymous on text, it was like a really good way for people to reach out and get support through that. So
how
that
did you
kind
find
of,
your job there? Was that difficult on you?
Kind of. So it was completely voluntary, but basically my mum and I signed up together because she'd always wanted to do something like that, and she never had like a background in mental health or anything, but it was something anyone can do that like literally if you're just like interested in giving back to the community or anything like that. So we signed up together, and having her doing it alongside me was like a really good support because we could kind of debrief together and like kind of check in with each other. But ultimately that is kind of what confirmed to me that yes, like I do feel like I'm like kind of in the right field. And I'm loving what I'm doing. So that kind of progressed to me going into Headspace, where I was like, I really like mental health volunteering, but I kind of want to be more at the like front of like the community and actually reaching out to people and like coming to events like at university or like at schools and like having that community outreach. So Headspace was awesome. I'm still with Headspace and absolutely loving it. So basically I did two main roles. So one of my roles, which is finished up now, was promoting like social connectedness in the community. So that was putting on events for people that are under 25 to kind of come and meet new people and just have conversations. And it didn't have to be
such a cool job.
Yeah, definitely. It was so much fun. We did random things like bowling and like going into like the dumpling festival, going to the fringe, basically anything that people wanted to do in like the city of Adelaide. And then with the youth reference group, which I'm still doing at the moment, we kind of go out to like universities and schools, and we kind of promote Headspace as like a free service that young people can access if they need mental health support, and have those conversations about mental health and yeah, kind of meet new people through that.
Oh my gosh.
But you meet a lot of international students then.
Definitely. And international students were like a big demographic coming to our steering committee events, which was to promote like social connectedness. Like maybe they've moved to Australia for the first time and wanting to meet new people because, you know, it can be scary moving to a new country and, you know, starting university and not knowing many people. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I feel like your job really ties back to what you were saying about like how TikTok fills your cup. I feel like that would like fill your cup so much, like such a wholesome job and feel like really not only giving back to the community, but like seeing such wholesome connection just like happen in front of you.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, was it new to you, like meeting people from around the world? And like, I guess there'll be a huge cultural difference as well, like comparing to when you're in high school and like now.
Yeah, definitely. And funny you say that. Like, I feel like when you meet new people, like the stories and the experiences you kind of share is like so like eye-opening as well. Like, but the funny thing is you also have these experiences that are all very similar. Like, although there's people from around the world coming together, at the end of the day, we are all just kind of students or just young people in general, just kind of navigating life together. So it's really cool.
That's awesome. My gosh. I feel like I need to like sign up to Lifeline or something. The way that you're talking about all of the work that you're doing makes me want to like get out into the community and help give back.
It's so rewarding as well. And I guess like that was kind of my way of being like, okay, I've never done psychology before. Like, is this actually for me? And like, I guess the only way you can really kind of jump into it is just learn. And that's like, you know, although it is very challenging at times, it's like the, I feel like that's like the moments of growth is when you're kind of challenging yourself. Yeah.
That's what I always tell myself if I'm having a hard day. I'm like, someone else, not only do they have it worse, but someone's going through exactly what I'm going through.
Definitely.
I'm not alone in this. Even if I don't know who they are, like someone else is thinking this right now is what I always try to tell myself. So like, obviously you've studied psychology, you've done your undergrad. Are you doing honours now? Is that?
Yes. So currently in my honours year, so fourth year, quite a big year. So currently undertaking my research project. My project is on maternal parenting influences and bullying victimization on eating disorder behaviors in adolescents.
Gosh.
So looking at those like 14 to 15 year olds and like their kind of experiences with their mother and then like the kind of people in their like school, like bullying kind of things.
Whoa, that's a really heavy one actually.
Yes, very heavy.
Oh. I didn't even think about the fact that studying psychology and doing a research project would come with such a heavy topic.
Definitely.
I guess coming from like the marketing background that I come from and then like in my job I've met a lot of media students. Their topics are super interesting and like they find out things that are heavy, but it's like less of that personal connection to such a heavy topic. Like it's very like removed or like you can't associate with them because it's like a different group to you. But like in psychology it would be so difficult.
The good thing is with your honours year you can choose absolutely anything in your topic. So you can literally do things on more like cognition and learning, so how people how their numeracy skills are, their literacy skills, or you can do more of those like clinical diagnoses like mental health disorders, which is kind of the path I've gone down. But it's such a like a wide scope, and obviously you work closely with supervisors and they kind of help guide you through that too.
What have you found from your like research so far, or something like crazy that you weren't expecting?
Well, I was hoping for more findings, but basically so far I found in my cohort of study that bullying victimization was definitely a big predictor of disordered eating, which we kind of already have an idea of already. But in my cohort, maternal parenting style didn't actually show that much of an influence, which is really interesting.
So, I feel like that's kind of a good thing.
Well, it's definitely a positive. Yeah, definitely.
So I always, whenever I was doing, obviously completely different. At school, we had to do like maths projects. And whenever you found, you never wanted to find that there was only some correlation.
No.
You either want full correlation or no correlation.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's so good to talk about how parenting like doesn't have that much of an impact.
Definitely.
And I feel like that would be really positive for lots of, I'm sure there's not that many first-time mums listening, but like our audience that listens to the podcast is quite female dominated.
Yeah.
Obviously, people in university, like they're reaching the age that within the next 10 years, they probably will have kids. And there's so much like, oh my gosh, what do you do as a first time mom?
Definitely.
Like, what if I get it wrong? And I feel like it's so reassuring to know that maybe you won't have as much of an impact as you think
yeah.
you'll have.
Definitely, definitely. And like, probably reassuring to know that the pressure is not there as
yeah.
much as well. Because
yeah.
I feel like there probably is like a lot of pressure to be a certain way or yeah. make sure everything's like in a perfect kind of
well, I
way.
Feel like your friends at school would almost shape you way more than your parents.
Definitely, definitely. So yeah, it's such a like interesting debate because I feel like a lot of research kind of thinks like, is it peer or is it like your family? Like what is like a larger kind of influence on those?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to circle back to our topic. So obviously October's Mental Health Awareness Month. This episode will come out on the 3rd of October. On the Friday, it'll be like take notice with take note. So I'd love to kind of hear from your perspective, like what it means to take notice of your mental health.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you are thinking about taking notice, it's really kind of being in tune with yourself and basically just checking in with yourself is like a really simple way to put it. And I think when you're trying to take notice, it doesn't have to be this super like groundbreaking new thing that it has to look a certain way or feel a certain way, but in that you can just take notice by literally when you wake up in the morning, just think, what do I want to achieve today? Or how am I feeling today? Am I feeling energized? Or maybe am I feeling a bit low in energy?
Mm.
And just kind of checking in with yourself and noticing maybe those changes or fluctuations maybe throughout the day or throughout your week and like kind of just, yeah, being in tune with what makes you feel good and what maybe makes you feel not so good.
Yeah. That's so interesting. What are some ways that you tend to be really in tune with noticing the small things? Do you notice when your mood is lower or when you're more stressed, or is it only upon reflection that you go, wow, I was really stressed today?
For me, it's definitely energy and that being like sleep. So if I know I'm someone that needs like 8 to 9 hours of sleep per night to feel really energized or good the next day, and I honestly really notice if I get even 7 or 7.5 hours, I am like really not feeling my best. Like the next day I'll be feeling low in energy. I'm maybe moody. Like
yeah.
you might not want to cross me at bad times. Like as in I really like need that like eight to nine hours to really feel my best. I think taking notice of that has come from obviously seeing how I go day to day and then changes in sleep also, like seeing that kind of measurement change in sleep.
Oh my gosh,
then
I'm the exact same.
Yeah.
I feel like if I don't get good
yeah.
sleep, I can already feel my eyes just feeling so heavy and just
yes.
being so much more impatient.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to be a bad person.
No.
I'm just going to be like a lot more, oh, I'm not going to go out of my way to like be all jolly and all that
definitely.
Stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But honestly, even just acknowledging how you feel that day is enough to like, oh yeah, this is what I need today instead. And just
definitely.
Being like, open about it, like, oh, I'm not really feeling like talking today, but I'm gonna still do my work, I'm gonna still be here, stuff like that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm such a retrospective thinker. Last week I was away, so I didn't normally, I try to go to Pilates like 4 or 5 times a week, so
yeah.
I didn't go. Like I went on Saturday and I didn't go again until the next Saturday, and I hadn't noticed the changes that I wasn't at Pilates until I went again, and I was like, oh my god, like I've given myself space to just like think and be with
yep.
myself and like move my body, and I didn't notice the impact that it had until I hadn't been doing it, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
Yeah,
it's not until something changes that you're like,
yeah.
oh, what's happening? Like, why do I feel this way? Yeah, definitely.
Even how you were saying, like, sleep has such a big impact. I'll be, like, still fit and raring if I only get, like, 7 hours or, like, 6.5. But then when I get a full night's sleep, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got so much more done today.
Literally.
Yeah. And it's, like, so tricky to create space to do things like that when it's life goes on and, like, things are happening all around you and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I feel it's so interesting. Some people can seriously function off like 4 to 5 hours of sleep and they are bouncing off the walls still.
Yeah.
Like I have this one friend, her prime time study hours were like literally the middle of the night.
Oh my
gosh. So she would go to the library from like maybe 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. ish. And I would see her the next day and she'd be full of life still as per, like
oh
she was just
God.
Always full of life. I was like, how do you do it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I feel like you can almost train yourself a little bit. Like
yeah.
in first year, I was like working ridiculous hours, like still trying to study and like I would have 6 hours sleep and be like, yes, let's get it. And now that I've let myself relax and I like do try to take notice more of how my body's going, I find that like I just can't do it anymore. And I'm like, am I getting older?
But it's like 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night during your first year and when you're rushing assignment sure, but like, I honestly think long-term is going to be so, so harmful for you. Well-being isn't just about, I don't know, like taking notice, sure, but it's like physical health, mm-hmm. financial well-being, social well-being, all that stuff. Like even just making sure that you sleep properly, mm. getting enough exercise, that makes the biggest difference ever.
Definitely. And you can see how it kind of goes hand in hand. Like you can't really have one fulfilled if you don't have the other. Like
yeah.
The physical well-being goes so tightly knit with your like emotional well-being too. And if one isn't filled up, it's really hard to have the other one fulfilled too.
That's so interesting that you say that. I do some work in like a leadership course and they taught us this framework. It was like SCARF. Anyway, basically they're saying like if one of them is like not feeling good, try to focus on the other four. And I've really tried to apply that to like my well-being. So like say I like haven't been to the gym, I try to focus. I still have a really good life at home. Like I have a loving partner. I've got lots of good friends. Like I try to focus on that.
Definitely.
If that makes sense, but it's so tricky. Like I make good money and I work, but then like when I feel like I'm running out of money, I really try to focus on like, there's like obviously people that would have less money than me and like everything else in my life is fine. Like money can't be like such a driver of how I'm feeling on that day.
Yeah.
But it is so tricky. Like you say, like if something's not feeling good, it's so tricky to focus on the things that are.
Definitely. And I love you touched on that because that also I feel like goes into like gratitude. Like you have obviously maybe things in your life that aren't feeling as good and you're like really noticing that. But by that same token, as humans, I feel like we're really, we have a tendency to focus on the negative things.
Yeah.
And then we might have this like abundance of really positive things in our life, but we're kind of disregarding that because we're really focusing on like maybe the things that we're lacking in that moment.
Yeah. I remember I went on the pill last year and it was horrible. Like my hormones just got like so thrown out of whack and I would just like cry at any little thing that went wrong. Aww. And people would say to me, they're like, why are you so upset all the time? Like you have such a good this, such a good that, whatever. And I'm like, I can't even think about that because like you just get so like one track mind and so anxious. But it's so important to kind of like take a step back and look at the bigger picture.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that just ties in the whole take notice thing because it's like when you take a step back and you stop thinking about all of the bad, well, really just about one bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that bad thing kind of just makes you think about everything bad that could be happening or has happened. But if you like just pause for a minute and like look around and like talk to someone, you realize that, okay, you know what? It isn't as bad as I feel right now.
Yeah.
It's all just like those emotions that you're thinking like, oh, because you were anxious about it already and maybe it happened. You're like, okay, but was it in my control? Was it out of my control?
Definitely.
Like,
and control is such a big one.
It is.
I always try and have this little like analogy. I have a little circle in my head.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like in the middle is all the things I can control. Like is that basically how I spend my time, how I wake up, how I what the things I choose to focus on in my day. And then maybe out of that circle is like the past, the future, basically like how my marker marks my work, maybe like an assignment. And then all the things like out of the circle. So it's like seeing that visually as well can be really helpful.
And like thinking about why am I getting so stressed about something that's like out of my control and like I can't dictate any of that.
Mm,
I love that. My mom always says that. She's like, think about the circle of control. And I'm like, it's so tricky.
It is hard. It's really hard.
Just having things like this, like for everyone listening, like just having the reminder of a circle of control, use that to be like your key. Start rethinking about that and keeping in line with that.
Yeah.
This is something that I'm really interested in. I would love to hear what like your perfect day would be. Like what things are you putting in your day to like help fill your cup? Like how are you keeping mentally healthy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything like that. I would just love to hear
how fun you question.
Would spend your day. Yeah.
Okay. Ideal day in the life would be wake up. I am for my form of exercise, my favorite is boxing, which I love. So I've been doing that for maybe 3 or 4 years now. And so I try and do that at least like 3 to 4 times a week. Kind of like your Pilates, like you love to do it like at least 4 to 5 times a week. The ideal morning would be going up and getting up and doing boxing for the morning.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, no, love boxing.
That.
Yeah. Random.
Do you find it's
but
like
so
a
fun.
Stress relief because you
definitely.
Like hit something.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, never are we punching other people. It's literally just bag. Like it's like a room just full of boxing bags and like it's just the music's going, the lights are going, the instructor's just like, you know, hyping us up.
I listened to the episode Just for Girls. Like Sam Guggenheimer, she interviewed the like the founder
Josh,
of One
yes,
Two.
Yeah,
and that was so interesting to listen to.
Yes, I'm a big advocate for anyone that wants to try something new in a form of exercise, boxing.
Okay.
I love. So yes, I'd go to boxing. I would then, depending on if it's a uni day or non-uni day, if I'm coming into uni, maybe for an hour or two would be great. And if I do have a lot on my plate, I would probably study with some of my good friends in psychology, maybe on level one we love to go to, our go-to spot. So I'd do like maybe an hour or two of study with them. And then I would probably go home, see my partner, Jamie. Shout out to Jamie. And also, I love going out for dinner. Like a big guilty pleasure is just trying all the restaurants I can in Adelaide.
Gosh.
So definitely a dinner booked would be an ideal.
Get dressed up, feel good about yourself.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Try new food.
I'm the biggest advocate for look good, feel good.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I would like always like tell like my parents and my family, like if I have an exam, I need to wash my hair the night before. I need to have had like a good shower, like done my makeup for the exam. They're like, spend your time revising, like don't spend your time looking good. But I'm like, if I'm in the exam and my hair is greasy, all I'm thinking about in the exam is that my hair is greasy. Like I need to be like at my best so that all I'm thinking about is the work on the page in front of me.
Definitely.
Me too. That's for me with wearing more makeup for work daily. Like it's not good for your skin. I don't like obviously, you know, take care of your skin, but it's a big thing for me. Like if I did my hair this morning, I woke up at 6:30 and I did my hair and did my makeup and I felt so good. I was like ready to start the day.
Yeah.
But yesterday I was like, I'll go with less makeup today. And I saw myself in the mirror. It's not really like I think I look ugly or I think I look better with makeup. It's just more like it just feels right. Like I'm getting ready. I'm taking time for myself. And then it's just like a little moment with just me, nothing. Like I have no plans, but just to do my makeup and skincare, and it's just so freeing, in my opinion.
I'm definitely on that same boat. Like I find, but also if like your hair and makeup is something that fills your cup up and that's like a non-negotiable for you, then that's like something that makes you feel good in the morning. Like definitely I think that's like something to like put into your day. And I'm also on that same kind of page where I love spending time on my hair and makeup. Also for the same reason, like not that I wouldn't leave the house without having my hair and makeup done, but more in that my day kind of feels set up.
Yeah.
And when you have that routine, it's like it makes you feel like you're putting your best foot forward to like kind of get what you want done, like an exam. You just feel so much better
then
sitting
I'm
there.
Like, yes, I'm ready to go.
I can do it.
So definitely. With like coming back from everything that you did throughout the day, you come back and you change into comfortable clothes. If you're like still on the couch doom scrolling in your like work clothes, you still feel like you haven't left. At least for me, like I want to be in comfy clothes, put my hair in a messy bun and take my lenses off, wear my glasses. I just feel so much more like, oh yeah, I'm at home. I have nothing to do. Because when I'm in my work clothes, I'm still like picking up the dishes that I left in the morning or like, I don't know, cleaning up some random stuff. And it's like, I'm still not giving myself that break that I need. After a long day of work.
Yeah, very true. So some of the things that you said throughout your day is like going to boxing is like an exercise release, spending time with friends, getting something
social
productive
well-being.
Done, going out to dinner. And they really work for you. And obviously we really relate to them. But do you have any tips for people that are listening to your tip, your day that fills your cup and going, it doesn't quite relate? How did you discover the things that do fill your cup?
I think, now this is a really cool analogy I like to use. When you are someone who feels like they have a really busy schedule and maybe they are finding that they're trying to discover like what fills their cup the most. I try and think of it as like literally a cup. And when you have this cup and it's full to the brim, these would be like your non-negotiables. So I'd like to think of it as what are the things that make that are non-uni related maybe, or if it is uni related, that's totally fine too. But what are the things that if someone says to you, you get to do whatever you want today and there are no barriers, there are no real like kind of barriers to what you want to do. And it's going to be maybe the last day that you can do whatever you want, maybe in the next coming day, is you have a full week of work or uni and you can't do these things. What are the things that you're going to do? Like, does that mean seeing your grandparents? Does that mean taking your dog for a walk? Does that mean playing a sport that you haven't played in a while? Like, maybe if you have that analogy in your head and you think of it as like a cup that's full to the brim, what are the layers that are going to be in there? And so when that cup is full, that's like the end of your day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's maybe
how I'd say it.
That is
such a good analogy.
Yeah.
Even as you were explaining it, I was like thinking, like initially I was like, oh, I should get coffee with my friend and go for a walk. But then you said grandparents and I was like, oh my god, I was looking at as a day where like I would just do not things that made me happy, but I was like, oh my gosh, I have a day off, like how productive can I be? But it's like taking even a step further back than that, like it's not a day off, it's like almost an extra day, like you don't have to get anything done. What would you do
if you it's kind of like even write. I love journaling, so even if you had this as a prompt maybe at the start of your day, if I had one free day, what am I choosing to do with it? There's no barriers because you have no time commitments in the day, like no like work or uni deadlines.
And like
that
everyone that you want to see is free.
Yes, there are no barriers.
Wherever you want.
Literally, yeah. Definitely.
Oh my gosh,
that's
I love
how I
that.
Think of it. So if you are someone that's listening and you're like, oh, I mean, I love doing like these things and I also love these things, but I don't know if they're quite the things that fill my cup as much as other things. Like maybe that's a really good way to look at it instead. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm actually curious. Amazing. What about you? How'd you find the stuff that you like doing?
I feel like it's a bit of trial and error.
Yeah,
like if I have a day that like didn't feel good, it's like, what about that day didn't feel good? And I feel like I've only gotten good at this in the past couple of years. My partner is like so hot onto everything. Like he will be like, why are you doing this if you don't like doing it? And he's like so focused on himself. We were house sitting. His parents went away the other week. So we were house sitting his house. And he was like, today, I really want to go to the gym for 2 hours. And I'm like, oh, like, I don't know if we have time to do it. He's like, I'm going to the gym for 2 hours today. And I was like, wow, I need to be way better at doing things like that. Like, yep. I know that I want to go to Pilates in the day. But if someone's like, oh, can we get dinner at 6 o'clock? But my class would finish at 5:30. I'll be like, oh, I'll just skip Pilates.
I'll make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. But now I need to like really put my mindset into like my class is at 5:30. I'm not free till 6:30. Like you just have to set those boundaries and be like, this is what's happening.
Definitely.
Which is so interesting. But it definitely is trial and error. I probably think about it more like a week. Yep. I would love to see my friends on one or two nights of the week. I would love to have like plans on a weekend to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
But I need to have like some nights at home with my parents on the couch. I need to have like a quiet-ish day at work, but I also need to have some busy days at work. And I need to end my work week feeling like I was productive. Like if I
definitely
go home on a Friday, I'm going to have the worst weekend if I like haven't gotten the things done that I needed to.
I think that's a good way to look at it. If you do it day by day, it'll be so like pressuring because it's like, oh, if I don't do all of this thing, then I have to push it to tomorrow, whatever. Whereas a week ahead is like, how am I feeling about it today? Do I want it today?
Yeah,
that's definitely good.
Yeah. And I think like putting yourself, which kind of sounds like a bit of a selfish point of view, but putting yourself at the center, like you said, maybe you have Pilates at this time, but your friend wants dinner at this time. If you think about, I'm the boss of my own life, I get to choose exactly how I spend my time. What am I going to do with that power? Because at the end of the day, it is a privilege to have time to do the things that we want to do,
exactly.
isn't it? So if we have this privilege to be able to choose anything that we want to do with our time that makes us happy, then that's like a really good way of looking at maybe the things you love more than other things. And for those people that might be thinking, oh, like I'm a little bit more introverted, maybe going and seeing friends or hanging out with people isn't what fills my cup up as much as other things. Maybe it looks like just reading a book on the couch by yourself or just having a cup of tea.
And, I try to like translate things into what I want to do. So like a lot of my friends are like still studying or they work shift work. So they'll be like, let's go get coffee on Tuesday morning. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be at work. Like I can't be there. So instead of being like, oh my gosh, thinking about the fact that all my friends are together, wish I was there. I'm like, why don't I get coffee with my work friend? When I'm at work, I'll like text someone in the morning and be like, let's go get coffee. So that then it's like, I can still feel like I'm doing something for me. And I'm like, obviously I'm not with my friends, but then like, I can be like, yes, like I got a coffee today. Like I got to catch up with a friend in the morning and like applying things to my day a bit better.
Ooh, another question popped in my head. We talked about taking care of ourselves and fulfilling ourselves with things that, you know, make us happy and, you know, feel good. But what are some ways that we can look after a friend or reach out to a friend while also making sure we're not crossing a boundary of our own?
Yeah, definitely. And I love that question. I feel like it's such a like common experience to want to be able to like be there for your friends and have that kind of connection with your friends to make sure that they are in a looking after themselves and taking care of themselves. I think what's a really good way is having lots of check-ins, which is obviously a big one, and Are You Okay Day is a big advocate for that one. So
I love Are You Okay
Day. I know.
It's cute.
That's very in line with like Are You Okay Day. So having those kind of conversations with your friends, and often you can actually maybe pick up that maybe they aren't their usual self, or maybe they are maybe not as energized as maybe they'd usually be. And so even just checking in saying, how was your week this week? Like, did you have a good week? Like how did everything go? Is there anything that maybe didn't go as planned or anything you want to be different? And like maybe that's a good way to get them kind of opening up about something that isn't maybe going as they would like it to go. In saying that though, when you're trying to have those conversations with people and not having that kind of boundary crossed for yourself, I guess that comes with, everyone has their different boundaries, and I think boundaries like are really important to kind of, you know, protect ourselves and make sure that we're also having our cups filled. So if you feel like maybe a situation is crossing your boundary, that's when you can kind of take that step and, you know, talk to your friend. I'm here for you as a friend, but unfortunately I can't do everything that maybe is required for you right now, but I would love to maybe reach out to someone else for you if you're needing that too. Yeah.
It can be so tricky sometimes. It's like you really do care about that friend and you really do want to know more about it and you want to help, but you don't even know how.
Yeah.
And then also maybe you might be going through something at the same time and it's just, it gets tricky, but it's always good to just be open about it and just let them know that you really do want to be there for them and maybe you are going through something. Like, it's worth telling them so then they don't think that it's like, I don't know, ingenuine, or like they don't feel like, oh, you just don't want to listen to it and you just
plugging in
a little, how are you? But you actually do care.
Definitely, definitely. And I feel like these conversations are like super important, like not only just once a month or like, you know, once every time that you see them, but even you don't even have to see this person that often to check in with them. Like, it can literally just be a quick text, like, haven't seen you in forever. Like, how's everything going? Because you never know, they may actually feel isolated or they might feel, you know, as though they don't have as much support around them. So even a quick text, even if you don't see this person that often, can like change their kind of thinking around that too.
Yeah.
I love that. I feel like for me, the big, not maybe not elephant in the room, but something on everyone's mind is like, as a student, it is so tricky to like make time for yourself, and you are so dictated by it. Like, when you're working, it's like you go to your shift or you work from these times and then you can kind of hopefully for the most part leave work at work. But as a student, like, there is no off, and like, you're so dictated by the academic calendar, what your tutors set, like when the assignments are due. What are some things that you do, or like, how do you be realistic and try to take notice of all the media that you consume as a student and just the student life?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like as students, we are always against a clock a little bit, always have deadlines, always have things coming up, assignments, tests, exams. There's really busy periods of time, and then there might be like really quiet periods of time too. So I think often when we're trying to be, you know, in tune with ourselves and trying to work out how we're kind of feeling, it takes a really stressful period of time to get to that point of, oh, wow, I'm feeling really stressed, anxious, and it's kind of out of my control a little bit. But I feel like sometimes it's really powerful, even in quiet periods of time, maybe when your study isn't as busy, you can think, wow, how am I feeling at the moment? Is this maybe a quiet time where I'm feeling pretty good? Am I feeling on track? Am I feeling like I'm managing my time really well? And so you can kind of like notice those fluctuations a little bit more when you're in tune, not just only when you're really stressed, but also when there's really quiet periods too. And I think the biggest thing, when I think about managing time and stress and being in tune with yourself, when you have those really, really busy periods of time, it can be really easy to get rid of your like non-negotiables, which is kind of what I talked about earlier. And I give seminars to students in high school about this, like as a part of my job as well. So this isn't with Headspace, this is with a company called Elevate Education. And basically what I say to them is, there is kind of two types of students at school and at university. One student, they have their life cup, like we talked about earlier, and they have their like study cup or their academic cup. And one student, they go, right, I have a lot going on right now. I'm going to completely get rid of my life cup and I'm going to just keep the study cup. So I'm going to stop seeing my friends. I'm going to stop doing the hobbies I usually love doing, stop playing sport. I'm going to maybe stop working as much as I usually would. And so these are the things that maybe fill their cup up. So they get rid of those because they're trying to focus on the study. You then have the other student that goes the other way and they go, right, I actually love the fun stuff. I'm just going to do that and I'm just not even going to focus on study at all. And that's just like the other way. But often the student that is taking away the life cup and focusing on the study just leads to a lot of burnout, and it's really not feasible or sustainable because at the end of the day, they're not doing the things that are filling their cup up. So my kind of advice to people is, usually when I'm talking to these high school students, I say, you are going to want to try and find ways you can keep both cups full. We don't want to be replacing our life cup, but we also don't want to be replacing our academic cup because we want to do well and succeed. So it's kind of that, what's that optimal point where you can keep both cups full? And that's kind of what I like to talk about with that. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Sorry, a bit of a tangent on that
one. No, I love that. Even as you were talking about that, I was just thinking, you were talking about like all the academic pressure that comes with like wanting to do well, and how do you like fulfill your academic pressure without letting life go by the wayside. And I, even just thinking about that, I was thinking about like when I was studying with my best friend last year, and she would be like, we have this test coming up in a few days, so I'm going to go to Pilates tonight. And I would look at her and I'd be like, Do not do that. I'm like, no. We have to study. Like, this test is going to be impossible. And she's like, no, like, I'm going to go to Pilates. And I did exactly what you said. I threw my life cup away and I was like, I need to, like, get this done. I need to do this, do that, whatever, which is so tricky to do. But it really made me think about, like, not only is there academic pressures, but there's, like, social media pressures.
Definitely.
And, like, social media these days is out of control. Like, the amount of influencers that are on social media is ridiculous. And they post their perfect lives.
Yep.
And they post, wow, I'm so smart. I'm slaying it at uni. I went for a walk with my friend this morning. And it's like, how are they finding time to do this? And then not only are you seeing media like that, you're seeing all of the political media. Look what's happening in the world. This is devastating. Mm-hmm. And it's so tricky to, like, disassociate yourself from that and focus on your own life. Do you have any kind of tips or, like, things that people can think about?
Yeah, definitely. When I'm thinking about, obviously, bringing up media and that media consumption we have, it's so accessible to everything that we're basically doing. And you're seeing these perfectly curated lives of waking up at 5 a.m. and I'm going for this exercise and this walk, and then I'm starting my day at 7 a.m. and it's like going really perfectly and smoothly. Yeah. But I think the number one thing that I'm always, always saying, not only to myself, which I think is really important, but also to my friends, is you do not have to earn rest. And rest is not something that has to be, you do not have to have achieved something to earn rest. And I think rest and breaks are a really, 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 like, important tool that is vital to everyday life, not only just as a uni student, but even if you're in the workforce, like, feeling burnt out is a really good way to, not a good way, but it's a good thing to pick up on and be in tune with, right, I need a break. Like, my body is suffering, but not only my body, maybe my mind is full at the moment. So what my biggest thing is, and I do talk to high school students about this as well, is often some people may relate to this, is they go, right, I've got an exam, test, assessment coming up, whatever that might be, I'm going to sit at my desk today for 5 to 6 hours and I'm going to study the day away, basically. But interestingly, neuroscience research shows that we can only really properly do good quality work for 45 minutes at a time. Wow. So, which is crazy, 45 to 50. So everyone's a little bit different. So often people might notice that when they're sitting down to study, they are having this optimal time of mine personally, I think, is 35 minutes. After 35 minutes of good quality study, I will start to feel a little bit foggy or I'll notice myself going and scrolling on my phone for a little bit. So I was guilty of this in high school. I used to sit down and go, right, really important test coming up, 5 hour study day. And I would try and not get up. It ended up being the worst quality study I'd ever done, because if you're not taking those really proper, and I mean, like, get up from that desk, like, leave, like, do not sit there for that amount of time. I mean, if it works for you, it works for you. But if you're finding you're foggy or you're feeling like you're not really doing good quality work after 45 minutes, take that really good 15-minute break and then come back.
Yeah.
And that's going to help you way more than sitting at your desk for 5 to 6 hours and going, right, I'm going to get this done. 50 minutes in, you're going to feel not great and you're going to need that break.
And I guess at some point, like, you might get on a roll. Like, when I'm starting an assignment, I'll do like 20 minutes and I'll go for a scroll, do another 20 minutes. But then when I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so close to finishing, sometimes I will sit there for 2 hours and smash the whole thing out. But getting to that point, which is so good that you say that, because then I, like, the next assignment comes around and I go, well, I smashed out the last one in 2 hours. If I just sit down for 2 hours, but it's like those 2 hours were at my optimal productivity. I had a clear end goal in sight. So it's like being kind to yourself when you are just figuring out the beginning of it and, like, moving through what you're doing.
And there's no, like, set perfect way to, like, study.
No.
If it works for you, it works for you. And if you feel like, oh, yeah, I feel like I need to study in a cafe, go for it. If you want to study in a park, do it. If you want to be holed up somewhere and it works, it works.
Yep, definitely. And everyone's so different. And I think the first step is finding out, all right, what's my optimal? And for me, I realized very quickly, 35 to 40 minutes, I was getting really foggy after then. And I was going, my phone is my biggest indicator. I will go straight to TikTok if I'm feeling foggy, or if I'm feeling a bit, like, oh, this is boring, straight to TikTok.
I read this thing the other day that when you go for a doom scroll, you're supposed to actively want to doom scroll and set a timer for 4 minutes.
Yes.
It is the fastest 4 minutes of your life.
I bet.
I feel like, sometimes, a lot of times when I'm consuming media, I'm not even consuming it. I'm just kind of like mindlessly doing it.
Yeah.
It's scary sometimes when you realize, like, how bad that can be.
Definitely. So what would happen is I'd have this set, like, perfect time of, like, 5 hours, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to get so much done today. I would get maybe an hour in and I'd be scrolling on my phone for the next 2 hours. When in that time I could have done 45-minute blocks and had really good breaks for 15 minutes, like, actually get up from the chair.
Yeah.
Because when you
go talk to your mum, go, like, find your housemate, whatever, make a cup of tea.
Have you tried to keep track of that break?
Pardon?
Say, like, if you're taking your 5 to 15 minute break, how do you make sure you're not going over time? Because I know if I'm yapping to my mom, I'm yapping for another 2 hours. She's going to make tea for me, bring up a bunch of snacks, and it's just not, I'm not studying anymore.
No, yeah, it can be hard. I feel like, I think the people recommend 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I think it depends on the person. If you know you're feeling like really, you don't have much clarity when you're sitting down and you're taking that break, when you feel like, okay, I feel ready to go and sit back down now, that's when you would. But if you're someone that's like, I'll never feel ready again, then it's like hard. But I'd say 15 to 20.
Yeah.
And like making sure that that break isn't just still sitting there, just staring at your screen.
I'm so guilty of that. I am too. My lunch break and I'm like, all I wanted to do all day is just go on my phone. So I'm just going to sit here for 40 minutes and go on my phone. But then I go back to work and I'm like, well, I don't want to do this.
No, exactly. Yeah, no, that's why I say like when you're taking the breaks, like make sure it is like away from wherever you were. Because I feel like that environment can make you feel like stale over time.
Yeah. I'm really interested to hear like a lot of, I guess, international students and like students that are doing those really intensive degrees would spend so much time at uni, and it can be so, like what you're saying, then you can feel stale studying at uni. Do you have any tips for like appreciating small moments at uni or like taking a break at uni when it can be so easy to just like find your desk for the day and lock in, so per se?
Definitely. When I think about this, if you are studying with other people as well in your cohort, so often if you have friends that are also studying with you and you go, right, let's find a study spot and we're going to be here for like the day. What I try and do is with my friend, and we are not always really good at this, but we try. When we often have lunch as like a break when we come to uni, because our classes often are just before lunch or just after lunch. So we like are always having lunch, like buying lunch at uni. When we grab our lunch and we sit down, I try and say, all right, for this 10 minutes, we're not going to talk about uni. And we're not going to, because sometimes we have our lunch and we're doing this while we're eating our lunch. And we're eating and we're scrolling at the same time. And we're like on Canvas, like at the same time, looking at what's coming up and what's happening. So sometimes I think, right, we're going to sit here, we're going to have our lunch, we're going to close our laptops, we're going to turn off our Canvas notifications on our phone, and we're just going to talk about not. And this has been really relevant in my honours year, because honours is quite an intense year, and my friends and I can get really caught up in talking about honours and our projects and, you know, the deadlines coming up. When we have our lunch break, I like to just go, right, we're not going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about our, you know, I love talking about our projects together, but it's like, you know, when we're doing that for the full day, it can get overwhelming sometimes. Yeah. So I recommend anyone who's finding like that they're spending their whole day at university, just because you're at uni, it doesn't mean you have to be talking about uni the whole day.
Yeah.
There are, I feel like our campus is so beautiful and we have so many nice spaces that you can go around, walk around.
The sun's coming out.
Exactly. So whether that means like you and your friend have a set time where it's like, I like to call it the uni free zone, like you're at uni, but we don't talk about it and we don't go on Canvas or anything or on our assignments while we're eating lunch or while we're doing something as a change. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And like then uni doesn't become a place where you associate it with like, oh my gosh, I was so depressed there. Like it's like when people go to like the obviously the Royal Show was just on at the showgrounds, and then like there might be festivals there.
Oh yeah.
And when people walk in, they're like, time for my exam.
Yeah.
It's like, what can you do to make that location not be associated with like just straight hustle? It's like, how can you bring some other things into it? And then if you do need to visit the uni at some other point in your life, you don't go, oh my gosh, I remember sitting at that desk struggling that day. It's like, wow, I had such a productive time here, and then I was productive there, and I love sitting on the grass here.
Definitely. Yeah.
And it is about shifting your perspective too.
It is, definitely.
Like, yes, you were stressed, but it was like a time where I got to study and I got to learn. It was like, it sounds really corny, but it honestly is so important that you shift your perspective into something that's like not just positive, but also like acknowledging that privilege that you have to study.
Definitely. And my biggest one that I love to say is when you have gratitude and you're saying, I don't have to do this assignment, I get to do this assignment. I have a privilege, I get to have this education.
Yeah.
And yes, it does sometimes sound a bit corny and like you're trying to, you know, say something to yourself, but
that's true.
It is true. And our brains are very, very powerful. They are like plastic. Like you can literally mold them to how you want. So if you're saying something to yourself over and over again, your brain's going to believe it. Like it's going to be just a reinforced pattern. So if you're then able to shift it even just slightly and you're able to repeat it to yourself, it actually does change the neural pathways in your brain, which is so interesting.
I love that.
Yeah, it's so cool. So if you are even just saying, oh, like I suck at this subject, I suck at this subject, and you're reinforcing that over and over again, of course you're going to believe that you suck at this subject and you're never going to be able to get good grades in that subject or whatever. But often it can really just take a tiny little shift of, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm determined to get there, and I know I can do it by the end of the year.
Yeah, I love that. It's like that Winnie the Pooh quote. I forget exactly, but it's like, what a privilege it is to love someone that it's like hard to say goodbye.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that quote.
I know. So like when you're maybe studying something that you're like, oh, I'm finding this really hard and I'm really not enjoying it, which is a very common experience for lots of students, especially myself. I've had subjects that I haven't loved, that I haven't really connected with, or I haven't felt that I'm very good at. Just saying, oh, I get to do this, I get to learn something new, and I get to have a challenge.
Like, that's such what a privilege it is to be challenged.
Definitely.
What a privilege it is to have an education. You can look for privileges in every little aspect of your like, even if you feel like, oh my gosh, like I don't like my outfit today, like uni feels really hard, like there's always like something little that you can be like, even like, what a privilege it is to have gotten a coffee this morning.
Definitely.
Or even just having like an option to think, oh my gosh, my outfit's not it today, but like you got to try out something new, and like, you know that this isn't going to work for you the next time.
Definitely. Yeah.
What a privilege is to discover that I don't like this.
Period. But it really is the little things, like understanding what perspective you have on things and how you can shift that. You have so much control over how you feel and what you think. And that's honestly what it takes to make yourself feel better.
Definitely. And it can kind of be transformed to any stage of life. Like, even if you're at a job, like maybe you're in full-time work and you're sitting there like, oh, you know, this day kind of sucks. I get to be at this job earning money for something that I, you know, remotely love doing.
Yeah.
What a privilege that is to be, or working amongst people. Maybe I'm not loving what I'm doing right now, but I get to work amongst people that inspire me every day, or that, you know, I love working with and making new connections. So you can find it anything, even in exercise, like, oh, this workout's really hard and I'm really not enjoying this. Or, you know, this sport is really hard and I'm, you know, finding it tough. Like, I get to get up and move my body and those kinds of things.
I love that. I feel like everyone should be able to take something away from this episode. The amount of different ways that you've mentioned on shifting your perspective, different things that you can visualize, whether it be like the circles of control, or filling up your cups, or filling up your one cup of your perfect day, balancing between your two cups. There's so much that I like need to go back and listen to this episode afterwards to make sure that I've like remembered everything. Yeah. It's like when I read like a self-help book, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to be like taking notes so that I can like not forget about it.
Some of these things, when people say it, you're like, oh yeah, that actually makes sense. But it's good to constantly be in reminder of like all of these things, because then you realize like, okay, it's actually not that crazy.
No,
so like, maybe, I don't know, put your phone away, get some sleep, touch some grass, I don't know. It is those little things, or just acknowledging how you feel, what emotions it is. Like, what something that I learned as well is that like, there are so many different kinds of emotions, and it's not just feeling sad. Maybe you're disappointed or frustrated, and then just acknowledging that, you figure out how you can go from there.
Definitely. And it's not until you apply it to your own life that it becomes really clear.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to say it, but maybe if you're sitting here listening and you're applying these kind of to your own life, then it can become like really clear and like, right, maybe I do love that and I don't love that as much, and maybe this is what makes me feel happy and what I want to implement in my life more. So,
oh my gosh. I seriously am so grateful that you came onto the podcast
today. Thank you. Like, thank you for having
me. Everything you've spoken about is, I feel like, so practical for everyone to apply. Like, we're not asking you to like put aside 2 hours every day to think about yourself.
No, absolutely.
It's like,
not.
How can I take 10 seconds to shift my mindset? How can I be grateful for what I have and put myself first? And I feel like everyone should definitely be able to get something out of this. Yeah, is there anything else that you wanted to share today before we wrap it up?
No, pretty much that was it. Thank you so much for having me both. And yeah, I guess just my last piece of advice to students, take care of yourselves and be really kind to your mind, because at the end of the day, we are living with our minds every single day for the rest of our lives. So it's really important to make sure we're super kind to ourselves.
Yeah.
Be your own best friend.
Definitely. And speak to yourself like you would a friend.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
really
that.
Important.
Yes.
And that was really like practical for someone that's like a visual learner. You're like thinking about all the cups and the circles, and it's like, wow, it really put things into perspective. But no, I definitely learned a lot.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah.
Thank you. Incredible. Megan normally would do this, but I feel like there's so many mental health resources available at the uni. Like, everything Hattie spoke about today is like incredible for us to apply to our own lives. But if you do feel like you need more support than just these little mindset shifts. There definitely is support available at our university. There's counselling support, there's student care, and the wellbeing hub online. Yeah. You can look up any of these and engage with them at the uni. And hopefully today is a good reminder to put yourself first and to take notice of how you are feeling on any given day.
Yeah.
All of our mental health journey is just so different, and what works for us is very different to one another. Very important. What I always say is find what works for you. A little simple search like student health and well-being at the University of Adelaide, you definitely find a lot of resources that the university gives out and all the services that we provide for free for students in this uni. But yeah, always reach out.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that is all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening to today's bonus episode of Take Note, and make sure that you are all taking notice.
If you enjoyed the show, then please follow us on Spotify so that other students can find us too. You can also head over to Instagram that Olivia runs, where you can follow us at ua.oncampus. Feel free to DM us if you have any thoughts. We would love to hear any feedback you have on the show.
See you next fortnight.
take note.
This is a UOA on campus production.